That's again with onward Christian soldiers. I think that's 413. Yep, 400. Stand up for Jesus. Let's stand as we sing 413. Let's make a joyful noise.
Glory to the new born King. 10 tonight to Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9. The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrach and Damascus shall be the rest thereof, when the eyes of man as of all the tribes of Israel shall be toward the Lord, and Hamath also shall border thereby. Tyrus and Zidon will be very wise. And Tyrus did build herself a stronghold, and heaped up silver dust, and fine gold as a matter of the streets. The Lord will cast her out, and he will smite her power in the sea, and she shall be devoured with fire. Ashkelon shall see it and fear. Gaza also shall see it and be very sorrowful. And Ekron, for expectation, shall be ashamed. And the king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines, and will take away his blood out of his mouth, and his abomination from between his teeth. And he that remaineth, even he, shall be for our God, and he shall be as a governor in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite. And I will camp about my house, because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth, and no pressure shall pass through them any more, for now have I seen with mine eyes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass, and I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from river even to the end of the earth. And as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein there is no water. Turn me to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. When I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow of Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons of Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man. And the Lord shall be sing over them, and his arrows shall go forth as lightning, and the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as low as free wine, and they shall be filled like bowls and as the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in the day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the source of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land. How great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. There's a wee prophetic verse in there about the Lord riding into Jerusalem on what does it say, an ass, the coat of an ass, and that was realized about 400 or 500 years later when the Lord rode in on what was it? Easter Sunday. There you go. Palm Sunday. Easter Sunday was the Resurrection Sunday. That's what I'm thinking about. Amen. Just want to remind you, make sure you get one of the new prayer lists. Other than that, let's sing another song. I think we have a few still to go. 101 was one of our picks earlier on. Jesus never fails. 101 big books. Jesus never fails. Anyone remember this one?
You'll recognize it.
Hope so.
One.
Did somebody pick 261?
Yeah.
This is our next hymn, 261. Your faithful status is sin. If not, just remain secret, but as long as you make a noise. Visit up at the Crescent Link had about a half an hour there. It was bitterly cold, and it started raining. But we had the opportunity to speak for just under half an hour, and give out many invitations. I think we only had one long beat today, a couple of short ones. You almost need to be able to translate R2-D2 and Star Wars and all those beeps and buzzes and things to understand what people mean, but I've a fair idea that a long beep means someone's not happy, and a short beep is just keep going. At least that's what I'm taking them as. So, amen. We had that opportunity. Pray for those souls that heard, and plenty of them did. Don't forget to pray for Pat and Steve. They'd love to be here. Pray also for Sam and Louise, for Charlotte, for Colin, and for pray for Joe as well, for Ling and Frank too, and each other. Don't forget each other. I don't know about you, I would be glad to have my brothers and sisters in Christ bending God's ear on my behalf throughout the day. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse number 1. The Word of God says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together, and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them." And they departed, and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets had risen again. And Herod said, "John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things?" And he desired to see him. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people followed when they knew it. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place." And that's a whole different story, which we may or may not get to in the coming days. We're taking verse number 11, the last line or so of that, and want to speak about our needs for a little bit. Do you want to pray for us, Will? Then we'll continue.
Thank you for us to save the English of house. Thank God, bless us, Lord. Bless our families also, keep them safe and well. Save our friends and colleagues, people we meet weekly and daily, Lord. Save their souls as well, Lord. May many outpouring of Thy Spirit among the people of Northern Ireland and Ireland, and UK and throughout the world, Lord. So may mighty powerfully save the commit by the Holy Ghost and place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, Lord. May your name be greatly, greatly held and high, Lord, and be glorified as it should, Lord. Pray for the churches round about, even now, Lord, or open the book of the Bible, Lord. Use King James Version, especially, Lord, that you may use it to convict, bring Lord, those that are lost, and to bring back those that are backslidden, save souls mightily and powerful, Lord. Lord, pray for that Stephen Pat, Lord, that couldn't make it out tonight, Lord. Pray for us to listen to the website, Lord, sermon, Lord. Pray for blessing Pat, Steve, lift from any pain or any suffering, Lord. Reduce everything, his health condition, Lord. And bless him and keep him great Pat as well. Give for rest, right? And rest us for the Lord. Marcus comes to the love of the gospel, keep him safe and well, Lord, and his mind stayed in the book, Lord, and give the message that he should speak, Lord. And may we receive it, prayer of the Spirit in our hearts, Lord, and receive it gladly and hopefully, and may use it as life lessons in our life, Lord, as we start a new week. And Lord, give us the goodness, and may our minds be set on thee, Lord, and may thy good name be honoured and glorified, fully honoured, for our Lord Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Verse number 11 says, and the people, when they knew it, that Jesus had gone into a desert place, they followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. I want to speak upon our needs. Not just the things that we have on our list to tell Santa. They're not needs, they're most of them wants and lusts. And I'm reminded of a wee verse of scripture that says, we have not because we ask not, or we ask amiss to consume it upon our lusts. So, amen. There's a difference between what we need and what we want. Beginning of this portion of God's word details the Lord sending the disciples out two by two into the countryside round about and giving them authority over diseases and to cast out devils. And that's no small thing. We were talking about authority earlier on, and the authority obviously that God wields is a lot different to the authority that man wields. But God gave the authority to his apostles, and that would be cool. I think whenever in one of the other one of the other gospels in the Bible, it talks about the Lord rejoicing. And they were saying, this is amazing, the things that we have been able to do. And they were thinking, this is great. And the Lord said, don't rejoice that the devils are subject to your names, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. Because when it all comes right down to it, regardless of how talented you are, the most important thing is not where you are now, but where you're going to spend your eternity. Anyway, as is so often the case, whenever Jesus was out doing stuff, people turned up because he was renowned for healing people, for doing miracles. And even as we read this little portion of God's scriptures in Luke chapter 9, we see that they thronged him wherever they went. As soon as they heard that he was there, they were there. They wanted to see, if this was the Messiah, if this was the fulfillment of scriptures. Isaiah 53 talks about him taking all our sins and iniquities upon himself. And he kept doing that. And so, whenever they basically were looking for a bit of a rest, one of the Gospels records an instance where the Word of God said that the disciples didn't even have time to sit down and have a bite to eat. They were so busy ministering to people, and the Lord called them and said, come apart into a desert place and rest a while. People love to be around Jesus because he answered their questions. And I'm not talking about the lottery numbers, I'm not talking about who I'm going to marry or anything like that. The deep down question, why is my life empty? Remember the rich young ruler? And the Lord told him in love, the problem is you love money and not God. The woman at the well told her deep down need was not another man, but the perfect man, Jesus Christ. That's who she needed. The Lord was He did things like that as people needed him. Have the demoniac of Gadara, who really needed peace from all of the devils shouting in his ear all the time, and he got that from Jesus. People turned up. In this case, they followed Jesus out into a desert place. And any of them that were sick, as it says it, and healed them that had need of healing. Now, if you were sick, I'm sure you don't want to live with your sickness or your aches or your pain. What do? You can take so much, and then when it starts to niggle, you say, right, that's too much. I would pay any money to get that fixed. That's the way we are. Sometimes with men, it's a different story. You'll say, oh, I'll see how I am in a few days, and you get to the end of the few days, and you think, oh, I'm not too bad. I'll go for another few days, and before you know it, months have passed. And then, because you didn't do anything about it, you end up in hospital fighting for your life. Those sort of things happen. But the people that came to Jesus, any of them that were sick, Jesus healed them. I want to make a quick comment on the the healing movements, in quotes, that there are about the world today, they're liars and frauds. That's all that they are. Because they will pick one or two to heal, so-called, and then that will be that, and that will just like whet people's appetite for a little bit of a show, and then they'll have to come back next time. The Word of God says all that came to Jesus that needed healing got healing. How many times was, do you remember the time the Lord was in the house? All the people thronged him and he was healing left, right, and center. There was the man let down through the roof of the bed by four of his friends. And he was healed. Anywhere. People thronged him. But I want you to understand something. We already mentioned the demoniac of Gadara. He ran down to Jesus. And the devil spoke, "Are you come to torment us before the time?" But the man presented himself because he couldn't relieve himself of this awful burden, of these awful presences. Do you think he presented himself to Jesus Christ because the Lord was a master of witty conversation? He didn't. He presented himself to Jesus Christ probably because he'd heard about him. The devils would recognize Christ, and he knew he would find respite in Christ. He presented himself to Christ. Do you remember the times the lepers called out to the Lord? He lost the 10 lepers, only one of them came back, and he was a Samaritan. Remember the other times lepers came to Jesus for healing? Do you remember blind Bartimaeus? Remember the two blind men wasn't called out to Jesus and passed, "Jesus, heal us." And people said, "Be quiet, the Lord's passing." That's like saying, coming to a church and telling the preacher not to say anything. And he healed them. Remember as he was walking through the town and he saw the widow woman's son being carried off to his grave. And he healed him. There was a great need there. A lot of times people don't know where to go and we need a little bit of extra direction, and we see in the book of Mark, we see the word straightforward and forthright and straight, what? Forthwith, that's the one. I knew it was one of the fourths. And straightway and immediately, and we already mentioned that the Lord was going to places, but as he met the people, they claimed their need, they presented their need to him, and he healed them. The woman with the issue of blood who just touched the hem of his garment, she went to Jesus and he healed her. There were a few that were called him to them, the centurion's servant, Jairus' daughter, "Please come and heal my servant. Please come and heal my daughter." And he went. But they came to Jesus first because they had a need. I don't know how it was with your salvation experience, but I remember looking for years for peace, for the gaping maw that was in my life, that I could never find anything to fulfill. I remember even as a child sharing sweets, buying twice as many sweets and sharing half of them with everybody else to see if that helped. Even refusing a few pounds for cutting my granny's grass because I wanted to do something that would fill the gap. But in the end of it all, I went to Jesus and I presented myself at the foot of the cross, and Christ healed me. He healed this awful wound that I had, this sin, this burden of sin that was killing me. Still doing the same today for people. He did the same for you. If you're here and you're saved, he did the same for you. When you went to the foot of the cross and cried out to the Lord, he met your need. And your need was salvation. Your need was to be relieved of your burden of sin. But people that don't know they have a need won't go to Jesus Christ. I was reminded, just as we were reading these, of the difference between needs and wants. I remember years ago, I needed to buy my own car. Whenever I worked at Desmond, before I got a company car. And then about the time the lottery came in, and we were doing the lottery in the IT department before I started reading the Bible and got out of it, and thought, Do you know what? If I won the lottery, I would buy a Ferrari and park it in the director's parking space. And if he said, you're fired, I'd say, that's great with me, I'm off. Says, you have not because you ask not, or you ask amiss to consume it upon your lusts. The easiest way to explain the difference between wants and needs is to take a little child to McDonald's and say, would you rather have a happy meal with the fruit shoot and chicken nuggets and salty crisps, chips, and a little fruit bag, or would you rather have mashed potatoes and meatballs and peas? Like, you don't even have to wonder which they're going to take. They want the McDonald's because there might be a toy in it, or because they're addicted to the taste of the chicken nuggets and whatever it is they put in the chips. But the meal, mashed potatoes, the peas, the meatballs, whatever it is, I'm just reminded of my mother used to make a big pan of gravy of minced meatballs, and that used to be one of our staple meals when I was little, and gravy, and they would simmer for hours on the top of the oven. You and I both know what's better for you, but yet and all the little children want a McDonald's. And I have seen the end result of that is people grow into adults. They will only eat chips with everything. And that is bad for your health. That is very bad for your health. I did a summer of that when I worked in the hotel. And let me tell you, chips can wear thin on you real quick. We have needs. We do have needs. The Lord said, with food and clothing, be content. That is our most basic need, to be clothed, protected from the elements, and to be fed, to have enough food and water in us to keep us going for another day. That is our basic needs, and yet we all have so much more than that. We have roofs over our head at home. And if something happened at home, you could come to the church or come to the house. If the electricity went out, we light the fire. We have needs. We especially need a bit of heat in this weather. We have basic needs. And we need to eat and we need to drink. And as Christians, we need a bit of fellowship. But as human beings, we need an intimate, personal relationship with God Almighty. That's what we really need. We need an honest and intimate relationship with Christ as our Savior. One where we're prepared to admit to Him all of the things that we have done wrong. Not to me, not to a priest, not to anybody else, your mummy or your daddy, but to God Almighty. Lord, I have a difficulty with that. Lord, I'm having trouble with this. This person's annoying the life out of me, Lord. Would you help me with them? Whatever it is, you tell it to God. And know that He's listening. And know that He is able to reach over and touch that person, or reach down and touch you, and make the necessary adjustments. If you let Him. We have needs. And judging from the behavior of Bible-believing Christians, real Bible-believing Christians, I honestly believe that if everyone trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, this would be the closest that you would get to heaven on earth, this life. And I have seen the difference Jesus makes in people's lives. But I have seen people's lives, nearly 60 years old, 3 years off of 60, I have seen a lot of people's lives where Jesus is not in them. And I have seen the difference that it makes. Lives lived uncertainly, running from pillar to post, looking for a purpose, something that satisfies, and it never being delivered. I have seen people take to drink. I saw a girl drink herself to death. It took her quite a few years, but I saw her drink herself to death, looking for that something that would fill that big hole in your heart. I have heard of people living on drugs, thinking that the thrill and the forgetfulness of a drug high is exactly what they need, when the only thing that will give the forgetfulness that we need is the full forgiveness of our sins That is the forgetfulness that we need. We don't need to be blissed out in ecstasy for our lives to have meaning. We need our sins forgiven us so that we can see past the muck and the mire and see clearly. That is our need. Our need has been and always will be to walk and talk with God. Like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, that's what we were made to do. To fellowship with God. To listen to Him, to ask Him questions. And to obey Him. That's what we were made to do. We need a grand purpose. A noble purpose. The greatest of purposes. Some people will say, my purpose in life is to restore those great old works of art that the masters produced many hundreds of years ago, so that they can be there for future generations and they also can get inspiration and enjoy the artistry and the genius of old masters. Others might say, the Lord gave me nerves of steel and hands as steady as a rock, so that I can delve into the bodies of sick people and fix them. Well, know about surgeons and how some of them have God complexes and there's nobody like them. And a lot of those things are noble aspirations. But there comes a day when all of those things are gone from you. I worked for Desmond's. I worked there for 18 years. I saw men retire and go from driving a flash car and having everybody's respect and bowing and scraping to being nobody. Once they left, all the authority, all the power, all the swagger and the pride was gone. They were retired. They were just Joe Public like everybody else. That doesn't satisfy. That doesn't produce what a soul really needs. For all of the things that we ever do in this life, you know what I wanted to do? I've probably shared with you before. Before I found computers, I wanted to do electronics. And I wanted to have a little satellite floating in orbit over the Earth for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. A bit like Sputnik, maybe beeping or flashing a light or something like that. Something that would have my name on it that would last well past my life in this world. And I found that thing. And that is service to the King of Kings. Anything I do in this world will be gone someday. It will definitely be gone when the fire comes down from heaven like it does in Revelation 20 and sweeps everything away. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it talks about the elements being dissolved with a fervent heat. Everything that we do will be gone. But all the things that we did for Christ will be remembered in the endless ages of eternity. Not only will they be remembered, they will be rewarding and rewarded. And not only will they be rewarded, we will grow from them. We will become better people by doing them. As Norman and I worked on the church, notice I put him first because he did most of the work. I had to bow to his experience because he had done it so many more times than me that he was well practiced at it. And I was fumbling. And many times I called what he said into question because I didn't know what he was doing. It was just beyond me. When he said, hold that piece of wood whilst I do X, Y, and Z, and I thought, right, I'm just going to hold this piece of wood. He's a way of working magic. But it wasn't magic. It was just he was practiced. And he had the tools and he had used them. And it's the same in Christian life. That is what we need. We need to walk and talk with God. We need to listen to God and remember what He says. And then we need to put it into action in our lives. I know that over the past couple of years, I have referred back to my time in hospital quite a few times. It was transformative, let's put it like that. I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but it was transformative. And the one thing I will say to anybody that has ever had a brush with eternity, they will most likely agree with me, is The only thing that becomes important to you is your life. And if your life is forfeit, the only thing that is important to you is where you go after this life is over. That's it. You could leave, you could park a bullion van from Fort Knox outside with a ton or more of gold bullion worth tens, maybe hundreds of millions. No good to you if you're dying in agony in a bed. You could show someone the scripts for the next 3 Star Wars movies, a Star Wars fan. And I guarantee you that's no good to you. You're going to be stepping off into eternity before they're ever made. You could give someone the latest gadgets. But whenever your thoughts are on eternity, things in this world, in the words of the song, grew strangely dim. And it was only the things of eternity that are important. That's for a Christian. For a lost soul, it must be terrifying. They're basically thrust out into space. You know, when the Lord says in Revelation 20, he talks about throwing, casting the dead in trespass and sin into the lake of fire. It would be like being in free fall and not knowing what was going on around you or what was underneath you. That everything was up for grabs, that you're sure of nothing, but one thing you are for sure of is an awful fear and not knowing where you're going to be spent in eternity. And what people need is that assurance, and Jesus provides that. If you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior with your immortal soul that is going to live forever regardless, you'd be foolish not to trust it with your life. Now, that doesn't mean that every moment of every day you're walking around thinking, right, what does the Bible say about this? Or what does the Bible say? I'm just going to make a cup of tea. What does the Bible say about making a cup of tea? Somebody will say, it's men that make cups of tea. Did you know that? Hebrews. Or as I'm walking down the street and I'm talking to someone, what does the Bible say about that? Or what does the Bible say about this? Or what does the Bible say about that? We have needs as Christians. But God has already addressed all of our needs as Christians. And the one that I depend upon every time you stand up and speak, it's God's promise that whenever you're delivered up, not to worry about what you'll say, because it'll not be you that speaks, but it'll be the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. Because people are going to pin you and say, so you weren't out drinking on Saturday night. Why not? Well, I'm a Christian. So does that mean you were in church on Sunday? I was. And the preacher brought a message on. I guarantee you'll not remember the message that was brought, but I guarantee you you'll be able to remember enough words to cobble a message together. Even if it's only about repenting and being saved. I guarantee you. We need that. We need the assurance of salvation based totally upon Jesus Christ, because many of the times, whenever we live as Christians, we're not amassing fortunes. We're spending of ourselves, if that makes sense. We're doing for folks. We're handing out Bibles. We're giving of our time. Time that maybe other more industrious people in the world would be able to turn into money. And that's fine if you can, but myself, I'm giving. I'm reaching out. I'm giving of time. I'm giving of effort, of money, if it's Bibles, stuff like that. Because I am assured of heaven. I am not working my way to heaven. Jesus did that for me already. I am working on this world to make sure others get to hear about heaven. That's what I need to do. In fact, you know what? When the Lord went up to heaven and his followers gathered up to see him off, he said to them, go forth into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be an eloquent speaker. You don't have to have the best of suits or the best of memories. As long as you have the best of saviors, and you're walking hand in hand with him. You have everything that you need. And that even reminds me, as a thing that's been much in my mind of late, and would maybe be like putting up a notice board in the trailer up there at the mouth of the Ardloch Road, and maybe contacting the council regarding some signs. It's something that's been on my mind for a while. Keep reminding me and asking me about that, and we'll get to that in the very near future. Our needs as Christians, our needs as a creature, are very basic. We need Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then we need to listen to what he says. People say, but I want to live the best life that I can live. Do you know what the recipe for the best life that you can live is? It's not having money, or property, or cars, or clothes, or gadgets, friends. It's not having social position. It's not having a membership with the most prestigious golf club in this neck of the woods. It's not having a yacht. It's not having your health. The most important thing in this world, the thing that will make your life turn out for the best, is having Christ as your Savior. And then serving him whenever he calls. That's it. Romans 8 and 28, the recipe for the best life. This is what Paul said. And ye know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, saved souls, and to them that are the called according to his purpose. In other words, souls that listen to what God says and go and do what he says to do. Whether it's in your own life, whether it's out in the public eye, that is how we get the best life. That doesn't mean everybody's going to become a preacher. But if you want it, you're welcome to it. Anytime, or to lead the singing, by all means, come up. It does mean that God has the perfect place for you, the perfect job for you, the one that you are outfitted perfectly to do, and it will be the best that you can do. It will be the perfect life that you can live. And you might not think much about it now, but if God gives you a long life, there will be opportunities where you can sit back and think, you know, I am glad I did what I did for God. It is those thoughts that comfort you. It is knowing that you have a Savior that is there to catch you. And it is knowing that you have a good book, if you're fit to read, that'll put a bit of time in until you either get back on your feet or until you meet Jesus face to face. At which time he'll say, well done, a good and faithful servant. Enter thy into the joy of the Lord. Does that line sound familiar? Because we mentioned it this morning. What's our basic needs, friends? Food, clothing, loving Savior, the assurance of salvation, and a job to do that will keep even the most interesting of individuals busy for the rest of their lives. The most talented. It's our needs, friends. And the thing about getting your needs done, especially in the Christian life, I have found life is a bit brighter, flavours are fuller, and there's room for so much more in your life whenever you're done with what you need to do. God loves us all the bits. He really does. And he is a way for the best life for each and every one of us. It'll not all be sunshine and lemonade and ice cream, but it will be the best of lives. If I was to say to anybody here, what were the most thrilling and exciting or the best times in your life? I can guarantee you nobody is going to say the day I sat and watched Star Wars for the first time on TV. It's not going to be that. It will be something that you have actually put your hand to, that you have put your mind to, that you have pulled off, and you got a real kick out of it. That's what Jesus has for us. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. I appreciate your time and attention. I think we have an empty slot for a song.
I thought of the one Will's looking for. I thought of the one.
Which one was that?
Is it number 20?
When I See the Blood?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
That'll work for me.
That's my good.
You're welcome.
That's a bit like, that goes in line with what we were preaching about this morning. When I See the Blood. Let's stand and sing, folks. Hymn number 20 in the big books. When I See the Blood. Please be with our brothers and sisters wherever they might be. And I pray that you would calm frayed nerves and that you would strengthen weakened bodies and heal those that are sick and comfort those, Lord, that are close to seeing you with their own eyes. Lord, please save lost souls and use all of the tracts and the words that have gone out into the world to convict and save. Just thank you, Lord, for this time of year and pray that you would use it even to give folks pause for thought even now. Please bless us, Lord. Please see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. And we leave these things at your feet as well, Lord, as our private prayer requests. And you know what they are. And Lord, we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Folks, we are dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands, fellowship for a bit.